Memorial Day is about remembering. And remembering is such a gift to us. So today we do remember, and in fact that's what this series has been all about. If you and I are going to thrive, we need to remember. That's what the apostle wrote about in the book of Romans when he said, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scripture and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." In other words, all these stories that we have been unpacking over the last several weeks, they teach us to thrive. Joshua there at the Jordan River taught us that you can trust the Father. Step into the challenge of faith, and you will find that the Father is reliable. Naomi's story called us to hold on to hope. Not only is our Heavenly Father reliable, but He is good. So if it is not good where you are, you just need to know that God is not done. Last week, Sarah taught us that tough lesson, that there are those seasons when you have to release your loss. And hers is this amazing story of a God who restores her laughter. Don't you want that in your life? A God that restores your laughter. So we trust and we hope and we release. And today, imagine taking the initiative. To thrive, you have to come out of your isolation and take the next right step. So if you would open your Bibles with me today to Genesis chapter 28, Genesis 28, and as you do, let me introduce myself to you if we've not yet met. My name's Kevin Lee. I'm one of the pastors here at New Work, and we want to invite and encourage every one of you to fill out that digital Connect card if you've not already done so. The easiest way to do that is to scan that QR code that's on the back of the seat, or you'll see it on the screen. It gives you the opportunity to quickly access our worship program for today, and then you'll see the top of that. There's a place where you can click on a link that takes you to the digital Connect card. Now listen, if you fill that out and give us some information about yourself, we're not going to show up at your house later today, but let me tell you what it will do. You can share a prayer request, and your pastors and your elders will be joining you in prayer for those requests this coming week. You can request the next step, so like help me find a small group, or I want to serve, and we'll come alongside you. You can access that through that digital Connect card. You can indicate your desire to take the next step in faith. You want to know more about what it means to follow Jesus. You want to step into the waters of baptism, or you want to participate in our new members class, and we'll take that step with you. When you complete that digital Connect card, listen, it's so important to us that if this is your first or your second time to fill it out, we're actually going to make a $10 donation to a local ministry partner. And so let me encourage you to take a moment and you complete that connection for us. Now, before I read today's scripture, let me just kind of set the context. We're going to be reading part of the story of Jacob. And if you do not recall, Jacob was the younger brother of a set of twin boys, and Jacob's name means trickster or deceiver. And so if your name is Jacob, just own it, okay? This is the story of Jacob. And Jacob was just that. He was the guy that you'll remember, he tricked his brother out of his inheritance. He was the guy who lied to his father and stole the older brother's blessing. And so you just need to know this Jacob, he's kind of a character. He's a rascal. And when he finds out that his brother Esau is about to even the score, his brother's about to give him payback for the shenanigans, Esau is swearing to take Jacob's life, Jacob goes on the run. And that's where we pick up the story today in Genesis chapter 28, and we're going to begin reading in verse 10. Verse 10, it says this, "Meanwhile, Jacob left Beersheba and traveled towards Haran. At sundown, he arrived at a good place to set up camp and stop there for the night. Jacob found a stone to rest his head against and lay down to sleep. As he slept, he dreamed of a stairway that reached from the earth up to heaven, and he saw the angels of God going up and down the stairway. At the top of the stairway stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord of the Lord, the God of your grandfather Abraham and the God of your father Isaac. The ground where you are lying belongs to you. I am giving it to you and your descendants. Your descendants will be as numerous as the dust of the earth. They will spread out in all directions, to the west and the east, to the north and the south. And all the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. What's more, I am with you, and I will protect you wherever you go. One day I will bring you back to this land, and I will not leave you until I have finished giving you everything I promised you. Then Jacob woke up from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't even aware of it. But he was also afraid and said, what an awesome place this is. It is not none other than the house of God, the very gateway to heaven. The next morning, Jacob got up very early, and he took the stone that he had rested his head against, and he set it upright as a memorial pillar. Then he poured olive oil over it, and he named that place Bethel, which means house of God, although it was previously called Luz. Then Jacob made this vow: if God will indeed be with me and protect me on this journey, and if he will provide me with food and clothing, and if I return safely to my father's home, then the Lord will certainly be my God. And this memorial pillar I have set up will become a place for worshiping God, and I will present to God a tenth of everything he gives me. You know, Jacob was actually stuck in that proverbial place that we've all talked about, you know, between a rock and a hard place. Esau was the hard place, and this is the story of the rock where he wakes up to the reality of God. What does it take for you and me to take the initiative when, like Jacob, we find ourselves at a place where we are stuck? Well, the story teaches us the first thing you got to do is you got to wake up. You have to wake up. I love how this verse captures this feeling of the movement of time when it says, meanwhile, Jacob left Beersheba. That word meanwhile there is a way of just reminding us of everything that had been happening. And listen, it had been rough. In fact, if you look back in the previous chapter down at verse 41, it says this: from that time on, Esau hated Jacob because their father had given Jacob the blessing, and Esau began to scheme, I will soon be mourning my father's death, and then I will kill my brother Jacob. Listen, that's tough. And so he is about to go on the run, and he leaves home. Now, you might recall from a couple of weeks ago, we talked about how any time the people of God forsake and turn their back on the promise of God and they leave the promised land, it's not a good thing. And that's exactly what Jacob is doing here. He's getting out of Dodge. He's saving his hide. He is on the run. But before he gets too far away, before he is too far gone, God shows up and reminds him that God is still God, and he gets his attention with this amazing dream. Did you hear that dream sequence, verse 12? As he slept, he dreamed of a stairway that reached from earth up to heaven, and he saw the angels of God going up and down on that stairway. Anybody else hear the chords of a song in your mind? Yeah, that's the song. Listen, that song has nothing to do with this story. This story has nothing to do with that song, but hey, this is a heck of a dream, and that's a heck of a song. But God grabbed Jacob's attention. And let me tell you, the text is ripe with meaning. Listen again to what it said there in verse 16. This is kind of the key verse in this passage that we read. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't even aware of it." Jacob awoke. And specifically, he awoke to the presence of God. Now, the implication is that God was there all along. God had never turned his back. God wasn't on the run. God was always right there. It's just Jacob wasn't aware. Jacob was not only physically asleep, he was spiritually asleep. And God was moving. God was active. God was present while Jacob was dozing, and he was missing out. He was blind to everything that God was doing right there in his midst. Let me ask you, do you ever go to sleep on God? Let me tell you, there is a danger in the meanwhile seasons of life. When we can get so used to the way that things are that we fail to remember that God is still God and God is still on the move, that God is still active. And let me tell you, the danger of this past year for the church is this. We've been kind of lulled into a lazy kind of faith where we grow quite comfortable with a little TV worship and a cup of coffee in our PJs and easy chairs. It was good. But boy, it can begin to feel too good for us. Listen, I don't find anywhere in the gospel where Jesus called us to an easy chair. He called us to a kingdom movement, where we are to join him in the work that he is doing. And we got to wake up from a spectator spirituality that soothes our spiritual cravings and yet lulls us into an impotent sleep. Jesus calls us to lives of service and significance, not spectator entertainment. And we got to get in the game. We got to awaken to the God in our midst. Hear me, the vision that God has for us, the vision that I sense God stirring up among us will never be achieved by sleepy believers who are just content to drift along. You have to wake up that God is here in the midst, still on the move, and move with him. But don't miss this. Jacob is totally passive in this story. Totally passive in the presence of God. It is God who reaches out to Jacob while Jacob's totally alone. Jacob has done nothing to earn or achieve God's attention. I mean, he's asleep. You can't get much more passive than that. And in fact, at this point in the story, you need to know Jacob is more scoundrel than saint. That's who he is. He's a work in progress. But God meets him right where he is in the midst of his inadequacies. And let me tell you, God wants to do the same thing with you and me. He wants to do a new work in your life. Jacob lived in the same place we live, in the midst of a broken and dangerous world, full of fear. But that's the very place where God met him. And Jacob wakes up to the reality that God is here. God is still alive. God is at work. And what he did for Jacob, God wants to do for us today. He invites us to shift gears from the lazy, sleepy drift of an empty existence of just survival mode, and he longs for his people to thrive. But you gotta wake up. Paul put it this way in Ephesians, "Awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Let me ask you, are you awake? Are you awake? And that awakening begins with trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Do you today know that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Maybe, just maybe, you being here today wasn't really your choice. It was a Jacob moment where God brought you here so that he could speak to you to meet him, and you had no idea that he was even here. Wake up and accept Jesus and live like you know him. So first he tells us to take the initiative. You got to wake up. And then secondly, you got to get up. You have to get up. Look at what Jacob does next. Verse 18. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep. No, that's verse 16. Down to verse 18. The next morning, Jacob got up very early. I love that. He got up really early. In fact, in the Hebrew, the word there is kind of a word picture. It's the idea of loading up a beast of burden. You ever go on a long trip and you got a lot of luggage and you got to pack it, and you know that before you leave, you got to put everything in there. That's kind of the picture here. You got to get up early if you're going to make the long journey. You got to hit it early. And that's what Jacob does. He gets up early because he's got to hit it for this day. And listen, when you are eager for what's next, you ain't got time for slumber. And so he gets up early. Listen, one of the changes that my life coach several years ago began to instill in me was this idea: is if you want to seize the day, you got to get up early in the day. You want to win the morning, and then you'll win the day, but you got to get up early. If you want to win the day, you got to win the morning. So I get up early. Every day, first part of my day is the same. Every day, it's all about building the man in me that God the Father wants from me. And so every day, it's the same thing. You got to exercise. You got your chair time. Got time when I need to be listening and learning. Time when I serve Diana. You got to get up. When you are eager for the Lord, and when you are eager for what the Lord has for you, you got to wake up and get up so you seize the gift of the day that the Lord gives you. Listen, just last night, right before I laid down my phone to go to sleep, a news article hit my phone. And it was a news article about a study that was done at the University of Colorado, MIT, and Harvard. And it was all about the study about what sleep does in our lives. And this was their conclusion: getting up even 1 hour earlier reduces your depression risk by 23%. They're not saying you need less sleep, but they're saying win the morning, win the day. Get up early, just like Jacob. He got up early to win the day. But even so, don't miss this detail. Look back at verse 17. What did it say there at the beginning of verse 17? But he was also afraid. Sometimes we think, well, if I know God's with me, I know God's moving, I'm not going to be afraid. Not so. Even so, he was afraid. The God of the universe gave him this amazing dream. It makes you wonder, what in the world is Jacob so afraid of? That's confusing to me. So I went back to digged a little bit deeper about that word afraid. What does it mean? In Hebrew, the word's yare, and it means fear, dread. It even can mean terrible things. So I came to the conclusion that what it means is it's afraid. He was afraid. This guy was scared. But there's comfort in that for me. Because even with God with him, Jacob was afraid, but he still got up early to make his move. He's ready to start. He takes the initiative. Listen, wherever you find yourself today with God, you can begin again. Whatever you're going through, whatever it is that you are facing right now, today is the opportunity for you to begin again with God. In his book, Divine Direction, Craig Groeschel writes this: it's not too late to change the story that you will tell one day. You can start something new. No matter how desperate, uncertain, afraid, stuck you might feel right now, your story isn't over. It's not too late to change. Take the initiative. Wake up and get up. You want to thrive with God in you, with God for you? Then you take the next step. What's the next move? Take that move and get started. Zechariah chapter 4 verse 10 says this: do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. You know, I think a lot of times we get all excited about great finishes. We get all excited about great finishes in our lives. You watch athletic competitions and you see somebody make a great finish, and that just encourages us. You look at all the graduation stories of the past week, and that's just so encouraging to us. You finish a home renovation project and how good it is to step back and look at what it was and what it is, and it feels good. You finish a big project at work, and man, it feels good to check that box, mark it off your list. That's done. I'm finished. Finishes are great, but listen, you never get to the finish if you don't take the first step. If you don't follow the first nudge, you don't find out where you're going to go. So you got to get up, and Jacob sets up that stone as an altar, and then he starts off still not knowing where in the world he's going or what's coming next, but he takes the next step. So let me ask you, if you're ready to wake up and you're ready to get up, what's God's next step for you? What's God waiting to do in you? You got to begin somewhere, so begin. So I ask you questions like, how's your chair time going? Now listen, I know. Failed 1,000 times, right? Me too. You know what you do? You begin again. You get up. And you start again and allow God to work in and through you. Let me ask you, are you serving Jesus and his bride, the church? Jesus, our Savior, said he came into this world not to be served, but to serve. And therefore, if you're following Jesus, then you're serving him and you're serving his church somewhere. So easy for us to slip into a consumerism faith where we just show up and we soak up and we never serve up our lives to others. And then we wonder, what's wrong and what's missing in my faith? Let me ask you, where are you making a kingdom difference? Where are you pouring out your life to Jesus in service? Who is it that you are blessing with the blessings in your life? Listen, if you are not serving, you are not living. If you are not serving, you are not thriving. You got to get up, wake up, and get started. And then number three, you got to step up. Wake up, get up, step up. Look at how the passage ended here, verse 20. Then Jacob made this vow: if God will indeed be with me and protect me on this journey, and if he will provide me with food and clothing, and if I return safely to my father's home, then the Lord will certainly be my God, and this memorial pillar I set up will become a place of worshiping God, and I will present to God a tenth of everything that he gives me. Jacob steps up and makes a vow to God. Steps boldly into his faith. Now listen, God had already made him some promises. Back in verse 15, this is what God said. God said, what's more, I'm with you. I'll protect you wherever you go. One day I'll bring you back to this land, and I will not leave you until I have finished giving you everything that I have promised. Listen, I love it when God speaks in alliteration. God said, I will give you my presence. I will give you my protection. I will give you my provision. Everything you're going to need, I have given to you. And so Jacob steps into faith and he says, well, if God really is with me and he does all this with me, then I will be with God. You know what I love most about this vow of Jacob? It is so Jacob. I mean, it's pure Jacob. What's the first word that Jacob says with this vow in verse 20? The first word he says is if. If. He's making a deal. If. He is so Jacob. He says, if. God already said, I am with you. I will protect you. I will provide all you need. And with all of that, Jacob says if. And in fact, if you read, he doesn't just say if once. He says it three times. If God is with me, if he provides for me, if he brings me back. Oh, Jacob, the best he could do was a half-hearted vow. But let me tell you, it was a start. You got to start right where you are. And it was a start. Mother Teresa once said, be faithful in the small things because it is in them that your strength lies. And this was a small start, but God is going to do some big things through Jacob. What about you? We're flawed just like Jacob. We all have our ifs, but you got to step into it and step up to God. I love this about Jacob's vow. It wasn't just empty lip service. Did you catch what it said down there at the end of verse 22? He says, and I will present to God a tenth of everything that he gives me. This is the tithe. The tithe predates the law of Moses. And so just like granddaddy Abraham gave his tithe to the Lord, so too Jacob says, I'm going to give my tithe to the Lord, because the Bible teaches us that there truly is a connection between your treasure and your heart. Jesus was the one who said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. So what's the condition of your heart today? Are you ready to take the initiative? You got to wake up and you got to get up and you have to step up. And when you do, you, like Jacob, will discover that God is true to his promise to be present and to protect and to provide. And today, listen, I'm going to invite Michael Sheeran, our new student pastor, to come. And he is going to illustrate just a little bit of the last 5 months in his life, how he has experienced God moving in his life. So give him a big welcome home to New Work Family. Glad to have you, brother.
Thank you, sir. Morning, y'all. How you doing? You talk about a hard act to follow. It's like trying to stop a train, Kevin. So, hey, I want to tell you, it is an amazing story, what I'm about to share with you. But here's what I want you to know. The only reason why it's amazing is because he is amazing. It has nothing to do with me, has nothing to do with my wife, and it has everything to do with the Lord. So if I could just share with you in one sentence, here it is, okay? Invite God to get involved. Invite God to get involved. Whether or not you know it, you are on a journey. I am on a journey, and the journey goes a lot better when you ask the person who spoke the universe into existence to get involved in your small story. And that's exactly what we did. So let me kind of fill you in. So in January, me and my wife, Lena, began to feel that God was stirring us to something new. And so I just began to pray, God, would you just show me what it is? And by March, let me tell you, I had no peace at all. You ever been at that place with the Lord where you know he wants something for you and you can't sleep, you can't rest, and you might sleep 9 hours a night, but you didn't really sleep. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I had no peace at all. And I prayed for two things. I said, Father, I either need you to give me peace right here where I am right now, or I need you to undeniably put something in front of me. I'm not chasing. You put it in front of me, Lord. So that was in March. On April the 10th, my best friend got married. And while we're at the wedding, I got to be his best man. I don't know why he chose me. I guess he just ran out of friends for the day. But he invited me to come, and I said, Nick, I would love to stand beside you, brother. So we're there, and the wedding is over, and I ran into a close friend of mine who's in ministry. And we just began talking and sharing and encouraging one another. And I said, man, what you got coming up? What you excited about? He said, man, I'm actually going on Tuesday to talk with somebody about ministry. And I said, dude, that's great. And little did I know it was this guy that he was going to talk to, okay? So he said, you want me to tell him about you? And I said, absolutely not. I said, I don't want you to do that at all. I said, you just pray and I'll be praying. So he calls me back and he said, hey, man, you got to call this guy. And I sat on it for 2 days, Kev. I called Cliff. I had known Cliff. And I just sat on it and I said, Lord, if this is really what you want me to do, just make it an unwavering yes. So I called Kevin, and we began the process of meeting and talking. And this all started from April the 10th, okay? And 21 days later, I'm sitting in Kevin's living room on a Saturday night, and he says, I want you to be on the team. And I said, yes. Listen, that's the power of God.
Amen.
To take you from where you are to exactly where he wants you to be. And friends, I want you to know it has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with me. Has everything to do with who he is. Michael, why today should I invite God to get involved in my story? Why should I do that? Michael, that's just your story. How do I know that God will work like that in me? Can I tell you my favorite verse? It's the verse that I just feel like the Holy Spirit's been screaming at me for months. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able, not who might, who is able to do far more abundantly than what I could ever think, ask, or imagine. That's the God I serve,
amen.
Right? That's the God I serve.
Amen.
And so the biggest initiative that I can take isn't sitting down and figuring out what should I do next. The biggest initiative that I should do, that I should take, is to look at God and say, God, would you help me? God, would you show me? God, would you guide me? Because he can do far more than what I'm able to even think, ask, or imagine.
Amen.
What a story. Anybody in the room got a toddler? Raise your hand if you got a toddler. Come on now. Wake up. Yeah, I know you've been up all night with them. My son, Reuben, loves goldfish. Loves them. And when Reuben was born, Reuben's name means behold or look a son. And the moment that I held Reuben, y'all, we brought Reuben home and he was less than 5 pounds. I could hold all of him right here in my arm. And I looked down at him and I prayed and I said, Lord, would you teach me about you and me through this little boy? Don't pray that. Don't pray that, okay? That's all I'm gonna say is don't pray that. God, would you teach me about you and me through this little boy? So I like to play games with Reuben sometimes, and one of my games that I like to do, and I like to do this with goldfish, is I would take goldfish when Reuben was little, and I would intentionally put them where he could see them, but that it was completely out of his reach. Okay, some of y'all might think, man, that's kind of a little sadistic, maybe a little bit. But I completely put them out of his reach, and I would watch him try to figure out, how can I get these goldfish? And the entire time I'm watching him, and I've got one question in my mind that's just over and over again, when's he gonna ask?
Uh-huh.
When's he gonna ask me for help? Let me tell you something. One day I'm sitting there doing this, and I'm thinking, when's he going to ask? And I just felt the Holy Spirit thunder on me. When you going to ask?
Amen.
When you going to ask? Let me tell you something that I fully believe about God. I fully believe that sometimes God will put stuff in front of us that we can see, but that we have no ability at all to grasp, to touch. And God's asking the question, when you gonna ask? When you gonna ask?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the book of James says that God is a father who loves to give gifts. Every good and perfect gift is from him. Michael, why are you telling me all this? Let me tell you something. Your journey, it can be so much better if you'll do one thing. Invite God to get involved. Are you doing that?
Amen.
I wish you would.
Amen. Amen. During those 21 days, one of the questions that Michael asked me a few times was, man, I can't figure this out. Why is it taking you guys so long to find a student pastor? I told him, I don't know, man. We were ready last January. It took you to this January. Start praying and ask God so he can move. So go ahead and ask God and take that initiative. Listen, God has good plans for you. And what this story teaches us is that where you are is not the finish of you. It's just the start. And you know how this story of Jacob ends? Remember, God had made this promise. One day I will bring you back, and God keeps that promise. Later on today, I encourage you, take some time and read Genesis 35 when God brings him back to this very place. And one of the things that you'll find that happens when God brings him back is that God says to him, your name is no longer Jacob. You will not be called Jacob anymore. From now on, you will be Israel. God gives him a new name. And listen, that's an important way of saying who you were is not who you are. Who you were is not who you have become. And you know why? Because Jacob began again with God. He took the initiative. And that's what I'm asking you today, to wake up and take the initiative. Step into beginning again with God, and you will find that he will get you to the finish. In fact, Philippians 1:6 promises this, and I am certain that God, who began the good work in you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. What God begins in you, God will finish in you. And that verse reminds me of this truth, and this is your final thought. Even when I take the initiative with God, I discover that it was God who was always taking the initiative with me. He who begins the good work in you will finish it. So wake up and get up and step up. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, God, we thank you so much that you do take the initiative with us, that you catch us in that place of passivity when we are dozing and asleep, and you stir us awake because you are always at work. You are always about the kingdom business, and you choose to draw us in to the work that you're doing, that we can be a blessing in this world, that the redemptive message of Jesus Christ would continue to go forth unhindered in this world. God, I want to be a part of that. I pray that you would awaken us, that you would stir in us, that we might thrive in your presence. May we devote all that we are to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.